Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. Congratulations on this auspicious occasion to all of the believers across the world, this 15th of Sha'ban, the birth anniversary of the Imam of the Age, Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. In order to talk a little bit about this event of 15th Sha'ban and about Imam al-Mahdi, we decided to invite our guest speaker, Sayyid Hashmi, to the program. So let's go ahead and begin our discussion. Sayyid Hashmi, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show.
Assalamu alaikum Allah. Thank you for having me on this show and this great auspicious Eid.
Thank you so much and congratulations to you as well, Sayyid Hashmi, on this great blessed Eid, this auspicious occasion, the birth anniversary of the Imam of the Age, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. Of course, we've been talking with a whole different host of different guests that have come and talked about the 15th of Sha'ban. We definitely wanted to benefit from your words of insight along these lines of Imam al-Mahdi, a figure whom we all love and respect and eagerly await. With that, you know, we look forward to what you have for us in store. Bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin. Allahumma ajjil li waliyyika al-faraj wal afiyata wal nasr. Waj'alna min khayri awanihi wa ansarihi wal mustashhadina bayna yaday. Thank you for having me on this show, Sayyidi. Congratulations on the birth anniversary of the Imam al-Hujja, jallallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif. For this program, I think we can talk about the features that the teaching of reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi will give us. You know, this concept of al-ghayba and al-dhuhur was always the cause of too many misconceptions.
Mm-hmm. Ghayba, augmentation, yeah. Yes, and yes, dhuhur, yes. Appearance, reappearance.
Since the occultation happened.
Yes.
You know, we have a book from Shaykh al-Saduq called Kamaluddin. In the introduction part of that book, he says that I was traveling to Mashhad, and on the way, I saw that too many people doubt in the existence of Imam al-Hujjah.
The very existence.
Yes, yes, yes. The very existence. And many people asked me to write some books. And I had too many books about Imam al-Mahdi. So I didn't know what to do. So at night, in my dream, look how Imam guides us.
Surah.
Yes. I saw I'm in Mecca, in the Tawaf, in the Masjid al-Haram, and I saw Imam al-Asr. And I told him that, Mawlana, you know what is happening? People are doubting, Shia people are doubting in your very existence.
Right.
Imam said that, write a book here. He said, I've wrote too many books now, so far about you. Imam told him that, صَنِّفَ الْآنْ كِتَابًا يُذْكَرْ فِيهِ غَيْبَاتِ الْأَنْبِيَىٰ. Now, write a book about the occultation of the prior prophets. Talk about the occultation of Musa, salamullah alayhi, Yusuf, salamullah alayhi. So it's a very interesting book by Shaykh al-Saduq. So it was always, because it's somehow mysterious, because we don't have any access to al-Imam now,
right.
It raises too many misconceptions,
right.
Even until now. One of the misconceptions is that the concept and definition of awaiting for Imam is to really wait for Imam.
Right.
Yes,
right.
Literally wait and do nothing.
Right.
Yeah, because we have in narrations that this world and planet must be filled with tyranny, with oppression, right. with evil.
Before
the reappearance. And if we do anything, and if we want to reform anything, modify anything, we're doing against the will of God, because He wants the world filled with injustice and evil.
It's just, I'm sorry, it came to my mind that when we allow the world to become filled with injustice and evil, we're just making the job of the Imam so much harder.
Hard, yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's let it just be as filled by, you know, he has to reverse all of these things. So we're just increasing the work for the imam by...
And this is Allah Sayyidi, because we don't know the reality of teachings of Islam about society.
Yes.
Here comes Shahid Mutahhari. He's really a brilliant man, you know. Brilliant personality, because he really gave us, you know, this gems of teachings about Islam and about the school of Ahlul Bayt. And he always told us that even in the modern life, in today's world, with all those sophisticated science and everything, you have too many words, and your religion is alive, so much alive.
Right, right.
This religion is much more alive than it was in the past. Right. Shahid Mutahhari says, and I want this introduction, inshallah, I will come to that passive-active kind of evading.
Sure, sure.
He says that different schools of thought in the world have different ideas about the end of times.
Mm.
What will happen? What is the destiny of this planet, of human being?
Right.
What will happen to the human race? You know, the Marxists, they have their own idea.
Right.
They believe that the first age of the life of human being on the planet, on the earth, was communism. People would share everything with one another. There was no private property, there was no kind of liberalism or capitalism. And they say that the end of this world, because of the spirit of history and all those things that they say, will be the communism. Mm-hmm. And now we are in the time of that transmission.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So in that time, all the members, all the human beings will get together and they will share everything with one another.
Yes.
And that would be the end of times and everything. Okay. The end.
Right.
The end. Okay?
Right.
And everything ends. Yeah.
If I just add really quickly here, it's interesting, but we see that this communist, Marxist, Leninist, Stalinist, right, because they all are under this kind of one big umbrella. Across the world, it seems to be diminishing day by day, especially after the breakup of the Soviet Union. I know in the Islamic Republic there was a little bit, and Shahid Mutahhari was at the forefront of fighting this kind of... but then after the breakup of the Soviet Union, we see that they lost a lot of... and now it's perhaps Cuba, which is a small island, and on a very small scale they've been able to... Venezuela has this communist type thing. But even if you look at China, for example, it's interesting. China has moved away from that pure communist ideology that it used to stand on. It's now kind of a hybrid. When it's to our benefit, communism. When it's to our benefit, capitalism. But you see that it has become, it's not very popular in the present day.
I think in the political forum of communism, yes, that's true, and it's happening. But if you look at their teachings,
interesting,
even with all the crisis that capitalism caused in the world, I think the world needs an alternative. Yes,
right,
and
right.
That alternative, it's so hard for the world to accept communism or the teachings of Marxism because of that dark history in Soviet Union, okay?
Right.
But those teachings is somehow a leader and some inception or inspiration for some people to think about an alternative for this capitalism. Okay?
Right. Especially capitalism.
Yes. But their teachings, I think, is still alive, somehow alive, their teachings.
Yes.
But anyway, they had an idea for the end of times.
Yes.
Capitalists, this liberal democracy that we see the manifestation of that in US or some of the European countries, even they have an idea for the end of the universe,
mm-hmm.
for the end of times, for the destiny of the mankind.
Right.
And that would be the liberal democracy. In every place, every man is free to choose whatever he wants, as they claim.
Right.
I don't say that's
claim.
Right
yes.
claim. Yeah,
yes, yes.
The freedom of speech, the freedom of choosing the government, choosing your clothes, choosing your costumes, traditions, culture, everything. You have to be free, especially in economy. And again, nothing much more than that. And you know, today there are some other people talk about the future of the human being based on technology, and the robots will take the place of the human being, and human being will use this technology, and so on and so forth. There are too many arguments here. Even now, it's so popular now. And the viewers, maybe some of them who are studying in these fields, they may, yes, have too many things in their minds. Shahid Mutahhari says that in Islam, we have an idea for the end of times. And this is not filled like this apocalyptic movies. It is not filled with the agony and fire and zombies and so on and so forth. Yeah. We believe that the destiny of human being is going back to al-fitrah, going back to the very nature, real nature of the human being. Mm-hmm. He says that this kind of conception that Islam gives us, وَلِيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, we will make you our representative, our successor on this planet, make you the whole society, Quran means. He says that the societies, the mankind, this whole community has too many ups and downs. But according to Quran believes that all those ups and downs will end in what? In that kind of society in which people are not defined or distinguished by their money or by their materialistic virtues or qualities.
Right.
But they're rather described and distinguished by the level of their al-fitrah. It means what? It means that we believe that the human being has a very bright future. Because, you know, today it's so common to talk about the dark future of the human being because of too many atomic bombs here, and we have to think about other planets, we have to travel to Mars or somewhere else, okay? Elon Musk and people like them, okay?
Right.
Because we're going to destroy this world. And they are right, because if they are the rulers of this world, they will destroy this, definitely, yes. But we believe, according to Quran, Shaykh Mutahhari says that the driving seat of the society is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is interesting. Human beings, individuals, yes, they have their free wills and what happens to them, salvation or damnation. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lead the mankind and the society to the Tawheed. And that will be the final destination of human being.
Yes.
But that happens gradually. It's not just like just a revolution, as Marxists say. No. It happens gradually. But by what? By changing and purifying the reality of people. People will gradually understand that they need something inside.
Right.
They will be awakened. They will be informed. They will feel this need that they have to do that. Here Shahid Mutahhari comes and says that if you believe in passive awaiting, means you just stand back, sit in your house, and let the world to do what it wants to do.
Yes.
So who is going to do this duty? You have to awaken them. Because if you don't awaken them, okay, I have this gap of spirituality in my heart. Okay, go to Hinduism, go to Buddhism, go to Osho, go to that kind of, you know, weird sound naming, I don't know, kind of person in India or in South America.
Right, and this is happening.
And this is happening, yes, this is happening. So even if you want to hasten the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi, the very rudimentary and primary mission and duty of you is to awaken people.
Awaken the people around
you. Yes. Some of them, they say that if you establish any Islamic society, any community, even a mosque, because if you want to literally take those riwayat, narrations, you have to destroy all the mosques. Why do you go to mosque?
That says that the riwayat that say that you can't have a...
have an establishment. Those riwayat that this vault will be filled with injustice. Mulat dhulman wa jawra. Okay? So if you want to, you say that, I'm going to let the vault become like those an example of those riwayat.
Then stop building the mosque. Yes. Stop,
you
stop
have to destroy yourself even.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Why do you go to Azadari? Why you go to Shrine of Imam al-Hussein? You're one element, you're one individual in this world.
Oh, good.
You're upholding this. Why do you do that? Because you know that you, your parents, your family, you have to stand steadfast for Imam al-Mahdi.
Right.
So the argument of Imam Khomeini is what? Argument for anyone who wants this reform in the society is what? Do that, apply that on the whole society.
Right.
And you will be an example. You will be the hope of people. You will be the means and the source of awakening. Okay? Because Imam, when he comes, we know that he at least has 313 commanders and thousands of people who will willingly give their lives to Imam al-Mahdi for the cause of Imam al-Mahdi. So, are they coming from underground? Huh?
They were trained, nurtured, educated.
They're educated. Awakened. And this is the means. This is the whole reason of Islamic legislations, rules, regulations. Because, yes, we had 273 years of ma'soom was living between people, among people, okay? The appearance of ma'soom.
Right.
But after that, you have 1,200 years of the absence of al-ma'soom.
Right.
Okay. So you want to say that those ahkam was for that 200 years, and 1,200 years is going to be deprived from all those ahkam and all those regulations of and laws. Just change your standpoint. Change the way you look at these issues. If you change that, you may understand that all those ahkam were supposed to help us purify ourselves and establish that great army of Imam al-Hujjah.
Very beautiful.
So we can be those persons before the appearance of Imam al-Mahdi who can give this hope to the entire humanity.
Yes.
Because we know that all the people will do al-istighatha. They will cry for a savior.
Yes.
So they can find their savior in India. In Hinduism, okay? That's happening, as you said.
Yes.
So how can you make them believe or make them even think about a real divine savior who is really supported by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by God Almighty?
Right. You know, Sayyid, sometimes when you analyze the situation and you look at it, sometimes it does seem... I'm not trying to be pessimistic, but let's take both sides of the coin, right? Sometimes it does seem that the situation is not so good. Let me kind of explain. First off, you have so many people who are so asleep in this materialistic system that has been imposed and consumerism and right, that many people don't even know that there is a need for a savior. Yani ke, on this very fundamental level, there's nothing wrong with the world, right?
It's okay.
17 million Yemenis are dying of starvation. Yeah. Oh, not a big deal. Palestinians, they're being, you know, artificially, administratively detained. No judge, no court, no. They just pick them up in the middle of a night, throw them in jail for years. Nobody knows. And these people, they don't see that the world is in such a bad situation, let alone find somebody, you know, these sadhus in India, as you say. But this is the situation of the world. They don't even know that there is a need for a savior. I mean, if you want to comment on that, that these basic things need to be done so that istighasa, that call for a savior, you know, it starts from here.
Yes. First of all, we have to know that the situation was in the time of Ma'asumin was much worse.
Yes.
In the time of Imam al-Hussein, you had Mecca, Medina, okay, Basra, Kufa, all those cities.
Right.
Some of them filled with Shia people.
Right.
How many people were in the camp of Imam al-Hussein?
Right.
Less than 100 people.
Right.
Okay. And they slaughtered Sayyid al-Shuhada, massacred the family and the household of Prophet in
yes.
that time.
Yes.
And no one said anything. If it weren't because of Lady Zainab Salamullah, Imam al-Sajjah Salamullah, no one would say anything.
Right.
Nobody you had know. Too many of those companions of Rasulullah in Mecca and Medina. They heard about the martyrdom of Sayyid al-Shuhada in that, you know, wild way. Okay? They did nothing.
Nothing.
Just after several years, Mukhtar just, you know, did that, yeah. that rise up and that Tawwabin and all this. In the time of Imam al-Ridha, in the time of Imam al-Kadhim, he was imprisoned for years by Harun.
Torture.
No one. All those years, we were in a heavy taqiyya. Imam, the Ma'asum himself, could not barely and openly talk about Ahkam.
Ahkam.
Let alone Aqa'id. Ahkam.
Yes.
He couldn't. We have a narration from Imam al-Sadiq. He says that, أَمَّا قَوْلَ أَبْنَ أَبِي لَيْلَىٰ إِنِّي لَا أَسْتَتِي أُرَدَّهُ. Ibn Abi Layla is one of the jurists of the government, Abbasid government, okay? Imam al-Sadiq, when he is responding to the Ravi, he's asking Imam, he says, okay, one, two, three, but this question I can't answer. Compare that time with the time that you have Imam al-Khomeini that says that America
yeah.
U.S. cannot do any damn thing, okay? Can't do anything,
yeah.
You can't compare that. More than 300 million Shia.
This is a very
now,
interesting.
Yes,
yeah.
but just
yeah, no, go ahead.
Yes, okay. I want to say that if we look at this progress in the history, we may find out that if we really hold on to the rope of Ahlul Bayt and we do our duty, something great will happen in the universe. You talk about the subjugation and massacre in Yemen. It always happened. It always, in the Abbasid, in the time of Abbasid, they would kill all the persons who are somehow related to the Ahlul Bayt, all the Sadat. No one could stand against them. Today in Yemen, those brave people, I kiss their feet and their hands. Those brave, they are standing against them. I know all the problems there. But they are standing.
Right.
They are holding that flag. So me and you today sitting here in Qom and talking about Yemen and many other people.
Right.
But
right.
you know, say it. Yes, it's so hard. This vial is so thick because of Shaitan in the vault. This very thick vial which doesn't let people to think, to see the reality. Okay? So this is our duty. As I told before,
to remove this.
Yes, to remove that,
and it
can happen. You look at this: Palestinians, they would fight Israel, they would try to take their lands back. Many of them, they would do that according to the teachings of Marx. They are Muslims. But after the Islamic Revolution, what happens? And what happens before that? No Arabic country could take 1 inch
yes.
of the Holy Land of Palestine. They rather gave away their lands.
yes.
Syria, Egypt, Lebanon. But after revolution, what happens? That regime, that vile regime, day by day, it saw that needs to retreat and go back according to Islam. But it will become harder. This is the sunnah of Allah. وَأَلَّوِ اسْتَقَامُوا أَلَى التَّرِيقَةِ لَأَسْقَيْنَهُمْ مَعَنْ غَدَغًا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ Those people who said that our God is Allah. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا And then they resisted. It's not enough to say, my God is Allah. So we are the example of resistance. We need to resist. Sometimes we think that others must resist. No, you are the example of this verse of Quran. You have to resist. You have to go through trials and turbulences and difficulties. So after that, you will be purified.
Subhanallah.
This is how that 313 people will be produced, will be prepared for Imam Al-Hajj. Mm. Yeah.
It's very beautiful, Sayyid Hashmi. Thank you. I know you had quite of a busy schedule.
No, we don't want
to keep you. I think that's a very beautiful point to end the talk show. Again, our congratulations to you, to your family members, to your dear ones upon this great auspicious occasion of the 15th of Shaban, the birth anniversary of the Imam of our time, the Imam who is waiting for every single one of us to step up to the plate and to do an active resistance and to actively wait and work towards his reappearance. Again, I want to thank you, and may Allah bless you. And dear viewers, thank you so much. We hope you enjoyed all of our previous talk shows on the 15th of Shaban, this great and auspicious occasion, the birth anniversary of the Imam of our time. And we hope you especially enjoyed this current IP talk show on this subject for this year. May Allah bless every single one of you and protect every single one of you. Fi amanillah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wherever you are.